Praise and thanks be unto the Lord. Very nice that you all have come, and also those who could not come. We are greeting all in the country, in the neighboring countries, and all over the earth. May the Lord have his way with all of us. And also this weekend, may he use it so that we come one step forward, coming closer to the Lord in the faith, being strengthened. Today, we will hear a short testimony of our brother Jean-Claude, whose niece was healed of blood cancer. He will make it short. Brother Arben will translate him. Firstly, I would like to give you the greetings from the Ukraine in particular, then from Russia, from Moscow, up unto the from the Ural, then from Burkina Faso, from Benin, from Kenya, from Cape Town, from Johannesburg, from Gabon, from Montreal, from Edmonton, from Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, from Switzerland, probably all three brothers, Graf, Genton, and Davi, von Arx, then Congo, Zambia, Malawi, India, Indonesia. All are sending greetings. Then from Ashdod, from Israel, and from Finland, we are just so grateful that we may be joined with many, all who are in this time joined with the Lord. With them we may also be joined in the Lord. Then today we have visit in our midst from Sweden, from the Czech Republic, from Poland, Slovakia, Romania, Austria, Switzerland, France, Belgium, Netherlands, Moldavia, Chile. Did I forget someone? Then please stand up. Whom did we forget? Which country? I think our brother from Moldavia, he has to give us greetings. If he would come to the front now, then he can do it. And the brethren from Chile, we also would like to ask them to stand up so that we can welcome you in a special way. Yes, be welcome in a special way. God bless you in our midst. You have to give us greetings, all right? Brother Schmidt is our translator. It's a great privilege to be in your midst. At this place where the Lord said, before I was born, that this should be built here. This is great grace and the mercy of the Lord for all of us, from Moldavia, from Russia, Ukraine. The greetings were already given to you, And brothers asked me, if you will be there, Brother Nikolai, then greet them all our brothers and sisters there. Amen. Thank you. Now we have our brother Jean-Claude. He will give a wonderful testimony of what God has done. May he come now. Is he here? Yes, he is coming. Brother, please come and translate him. Blessed be the name of our Lord. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. My niece, whose name is Junie, 2 months ago, she got very sick. And she was brought into the hospital, and the diagnosis was blood cancer, and the blood cancer was far advanced. And then she was transferred into a specific clinic. Brother Branham even spoke of this hospital once upon a time. And
the
doctor prescribed a chemical therapy, and after the first week of the therapy, and the cancer was still there. After the treatment, it was not gone. And in that moment, the Lord inspired me and referred me to Acts chapter 19. Where it says in verse 11 that through the hand of Paul great miracles took place, where one brought cloths of Paul to the sick. Therefore, I came here to see Brother Frank, and he was praying over a handkerchief, and we sent the handkerchief by post. And it took around 3 weeks until it arrived there. The Lord knows everything, why things happen like this. Because it was necessary that the second phase of treatment was also done. And the result was the same as the first result. And at the end of the second treatment, the handkerchief arrived. And on that day, where the handkerchief was laid upon the sister Magnès, upon his niece, she was treated 9 times still.
Devant les médecins avec le mouchoir sur le malade.
Und meine Schwester ist dann gekommen.
And my sister then came
mit dem Taschentuch für die Nichte zu beten,
to pray with a doctor, with the doctors there, with a handkerchief. They wanted to put her into the emergency case, and God did a miracle. On the spot, He did a miracle. She was not only healed instantaneously, she was even asking for food. She had only 45 kilograms, and on the same day, she put on 8 kilograms. And everything was gone. On the spot, she was healed. And even the doctor, he was screaming when he saw that, what happened. And he was calling his colleagues together, and all the 12 colleagues said, a miracle has happened. And they wrote onto the papers of her. They wanted to make still a... When they examined her once again, they examined her, they took blood of her again, and she didn't find any trace of cancer anymore. We thank the Lord. We praise Him. We give glory to His name alone. Amen. I would like that we sing a song together.
Dieu tout-puissant, que tu es grand, de tout mon être, alors s'élève un chant, Dieu
Amen.
Merci, danke vielmals.
Thank you very much. I read a quote from the sermon of Brother Branham from the 22nd of March 1963, found in the fifth seal. I believe that the hour is drawing near in which the missing limbs will be brought back again by the great creation power of the Creator. I believe that if He can speak a squirrel into existence, then He can even create limbs which are not there, that He can give them missing body parts. He can restore. He is God. I love Him. We are really in expectation that God will confirm His word. I have just to give you a short report of the wonderful missionary trip through three countries, Singapore, Australia, and New Zealand. You all know we have still TV broadcasts in Australia, in New Zealand, in Canada, USA, and where else, Brother Schmidt? In Kazakhstan, Almaty. And this time, it was upon my heart to just call together whoever is listening and whoever wants to come. And so we had small but very blessed and good meetings. God has blessed. It was one of the longest trips, up to 10 hours time difference. Singapore, 6 hours difference. Sydney, 8 hours. And Auckland, New Zealand, 10 hours time difference. But it was worth it. It was just wonderful being led by the Lord. Only one day which was left in the planning for Wednesday, the 17th, I had the meetings planned in Auckland, and the 17th I left open. I didn't know what would bring this day. And then the following happened. After my arrival in Auckland, on the North Island in New Zealand, I went through the airport building and I was looking for the information, for the info. That's how one does things if one is at one place at the first time. And behold, there was no information around. And then I just said to myself, go and take a taxi. Go to the hotel and prepare for the meeting. And behold, the taxi driver, he had a Bible on the dashboard. Yes. And the conversation started. And we came straight to the point. He said, I'm in this and this church. I would be ordained as an elder. Can you help me? And so forth. Yes. And at one time, while we were driving this 30 kilometers, he says, listen, do you have time tomorrow evening? Can you come to our assembly? We have a Bible and prayer hour. Thursday the 17th, I didn't plan, but God planned this day. And the taxi driver with a Bible, and the conversation was there. And I tell you, the people were hugging me. They were rejoicing. They had never heard such things before to what I had to say and what was preached. Just so nice that the Lord leads everything in a wonderful way. And for this we are really very, very grateful that we have the word of the hour, the divine message with all the promises which are contained in the plan of salvation. We carry them and we may preach them, proclaim them. Then we all heard about it, that the first 6 months of this year have brought many things with it, be it the earthquakes in Chile and in Haiti, be it the Gulf of Mexico with a catastrophe as one never heard of it before, whether it was the volcanic eruption, whether it was Gaza and the blockade and what goes with it. Everything is happening and again is happening. And then all countries are in trouble. I noted it down. In the last year, in the USA, 146 banks were closed. In this year, already 86 banks were closed. Then we have the government crisis. Just crisis. The whole world is in crisis. The Vatican is relaxing. And there one has to read literature. One has to have people who are good informed how things are going on. And there, Brother Branham, he said, on the 18th of March, 1963, in connection with the opening of the seals, he said the following.
Habt ihr die Nachrichten von Washington gehört?
Did you hear the news of Washington? We are totally bankrupt. What is the cause? All the money is and the Jews have the bonds. We know whom the big shopping centers belong. But the greatest part of the riches has Rome. And then the second quote, notice, in the last 3.5 years, this prince will make a covenant with the Jews. He makes this covenant without any doubt, because of the richness, because the Catholics and the Jews possess the riches of the world. And then one more quote, or two half quotes. The Pope makes this covenant with the Jews, and in the midst he breaks his covenant again as he reaches his goal and takes the money of the Jews. One more quote. If he then has all of the money, if he then has taken the money under his control, then he will break the covenant with the Jews, just as Daniel said it here, in the midst of the 70th week, according to Daniel chapter 9, verse
27.
Then all of the commerce, he will possess all of the commerce of the world. It is a covenant, a treaty with the world, because he will have all of the riches of the world in his hand. All the governments can go bankrupt. The beginning is already made. He who cannot go bankrupt is, and to be honest, one may not think about it, how many billions also of Germany are being sent. And then one reads that our 14 million euros the government is spending for the Hamas organization. And all know that it is a terror organization. And I don't know whether you heard about it. When this happened with the blockade of Gaza, then the cry out was great. And do you know what kind of sentence was loudly? Jews go to Auschwitz. Jews to Auschwitz. It's just like that. That the people of Israel, the chosen people of God, in the eyes of the Islam, has no right to exist. And all the others are silent. And perhaps they are rejoicing, I don't know. But we are blessing Israel in the name of the Lord. We could say it's their own fault. But what is our fault? All our guilt the Lord laid upon Himself. These things, I just mentioned them, so that you know we are observing what is happening on the earth. And let us be honest. We have to cry out to one another, the end of all things is at hand. The rapture was never so close as now, as in our time, never before. And there are, after I spoke with Brother Kupfer, the word came to me from the Sermon on the Mount in reference to forgiveness. We will not spend much time with it, but it is really worthwhile to read what actually belongs to the Lord's Prayer, which all the world is praying. And I just would like to read in Matthew chapter 6, namely from verse 13, Matthew 6 from verse 13, and lead us that we do not fall into temptation, but deliver us from evil. But now comes our part, my part and your part, to prepare our hearts for the preparation, for the proclamation. Let us read the next two verses with reverence. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So, let us with a sincere heart, let us ask the Lord for forgiveness. And let us forgive all. In fact, let us forgive all. Nothing leaving back, but just forgiving. I don't know whether I have said it here before. Forgiveness is the gift of the grace of God by the sacrifice of Calvary. God has forgiven us in Jesus Christ our Lord everything, and also we may forgive one another. And not sitting under the sound of the word and having something against a brother or having something against a sister, but bringing everything under the blood for you and for me. Forgiveness, to receive forgiveness for you and for me. The second word is in the Gospel of John, chapter 10. And I was just thinking about it, how at that time the people of Israel, and of course also especially the scribes, and with the scribes, God has his problems. One of the German scribes has here, as the headline, in this magazine,
umfangreichen, ja, was soll man das nennen, Zeitschrift Spektrum.
Idea Spektrum.
Und
It's a Christian magazine. The headline says, the theologian claims that the death of Jesus was useless. I didn't read one. I covered this whole article. I didn't read one sentence of this article. I just glue a paper over it. A theologian, the death of Jesus was useless. The death of Jesus has had the greatest meaning, the greatest significance in history and in the plan of salvation. But people, they're just bypassing it. Ezra said, I didn't read one line. Right on the spot, I glued a paper over it. I just wanted to share with you how far Christianity has gone already. And here it is reported that God, that all of Christianity, God shall be addressed as Allah. One really doesn't know anymore what one should say about it. Deception and again deception on all levels. And here in the Gospel of John, in chapter 10, our Lord, you all know, He poured out His heart. And He just spoke. And precious truths He expressed here. Verily, verily, I say unto you, in verse 1. And then we have the whole thing. I am the door for the sheep. I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And then verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And then verse 14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. Yes. And then it started right in the verses 19 and 20. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, he has a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? How much pain? With what kind of pain one reads such words? He, the Lord of glory, he came to his own, and his own received him not. And then it's written, but as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the children of God, even as who believe on his name. And today it's the same. Today it's the same. He comes to his own, and his own receive him not, because they remained and are entangled in their tradition. And then we read in verse 22 and 23, and it was at Jerusalem the feast of the dedication, and it was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple in the Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Not bad. Was very good. And when he told them, let us read on. In verse 26. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. And this hurt, but it had to be said. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me.
Amen.
They follow me. Verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Then it continues until verse 30. I and my Father are one. We are one. God manifested as Lord. The Father manifested in the Son. Now, verse 31. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Now just think about it. How many times I've said it here? 4,000 years passed since the first promise in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, that the seed of God would come through the woman, would bruise the head of the serpent, and would bring us redemption. And the hope of Israel has come to fulfillment. And behold, the scribes and Pharisees, they rejected it. Brothers and sisters, who is it in our time? The multitudes of the people, that they don't care. Who are the people in our time who misunderstand the Lord, who misunderstand us, who reject the Lord, who reject us? Who are they? It's the scribes and it's the Pharisees in our time. And listen, what is still written? Verse 33. The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. He was God. He was God manifested in the flesh, who walked in the Garden of Eden, who came to Abraham, who revealed himself to the prophets. Yes, who spoke to Moses face to face, him our Lord. They then accused him of blasphemy. Then in verse 36, say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. Were not all the promises in all of the Old Testament, were not all the promises given, and were they not written down, that the virgin would conceive and bear a son? Is it not written in Luke 1, the Holy One born of thee shall be called the Son of God? Everything was of course written already, and it came to fulfillment. And the scribes, the scribes led the people around what God has done. They had their religion, and then they rebelled against the Lord and against His Anointed One. What do we have today without judging? What do we have today? Everywhere, religion and again religion, mixing up to the utmost. And then we are hearing the divine message. Ye, my people, come out. Be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing. Then I will receive you. Then you shall be my sons and my daughters, and I will be your God. Already in the prophet Isaiah, we read the admonition. Isaiah chapter 29, the admonition that we should not with our lips, but with our hearts, we should thank God, giving glory to Him. Just as it is written then in Mark chapter 7 again. Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13. Wherefore, the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near to me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and they fear toward me is taught by the precepts of men. God spoke, but the people didn't receive the word alive, but they received, they made a tradition out of it. We're making traditions of men, teachings of men out of it. And so we read from Mark chapter 7 to show us, to make the comparison with our time. Mark chapter 7, and just believe it, nothing has changed at all. Everything remained as it was at that time. Scribes and the Pharisees, they always bypassed what God promised, what God did. They always bypassed. And so it is also in our time. Mark chapter 7, verse 6 and 7. He answered and said unto them, well has Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Why is it written, he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children of God back to the fathers? Not the lips, not the head, the hearts. Then, verse 7, how be it, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And we really, without judging here, we can go from confession to confession, and all are having their own teachings. And then we are made aware by the word of God that God, before the return of Jesus Christ, would restore all things back into its original state. And I show you now something very wonderful from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 17, to show you how the Holy Spirit, with very precision, as no man can have it, here, in this gospel, he spoke. And our Lord said it. He left it to us. Matthew 17. And here we read from verse 10. Matthew 17, from verse 10. And his disciples asked him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elijah must first come? Please, pay attention what we read now. The scribes, they knew the word, but they didn't have the revelation. And then, in verse 11, and Jesus answered and said unto them, Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. And before we read now this wonderful testimony, before we emphasize it, just imagine for one moment that verse 13 was would be said after verse 11. Then everything would be at the end. Then we wouldn't have any promise at all. Let us read on. Thanks be to God. Verse 13 is written after verse 12, where the Lord referred to the ministry of John the Baptist, which was already happened. Let us read it. But I say unto you that Elijah is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they wished. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Only after this verse, because John the Baptist came in the spirit and in the power of Elijah. But 2,000 years have passed now, and the day of the Lord is still before us. Only after the ministry of John the Baptist, our Lord spoke. And then comes verse 13. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. Where's the amen? How precise is God's word? And I say it again, just imagine it would be exchanged if one would, verse 13, and these the scribes are doing from today. The scribes from today. And I know a couple of preachers of the Pentecostal time from the 60s who just have said, Brother Frank, this with Branham and the prophet and with the day of the Lord, everything is already finished, because our Lord said, then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. Of John the Baptist, he spoke in verse 12. In verse 12. And of whom did he speak in verse 11? Of whom did he speak in verse 11? Brother Gilbert? Brother Müller? You ministering brethren, of whom did he speak? In verse 11. And he answered and said unto them, Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. Just so wonderful. For me, it's wonderful how the Spirit of God in all the details was dictating where it belongs. Now, coming to what our Lord also said, just briefly, we go into it. We believe that God's word is our absolute. And I would like to be allowed to say this here. At this place, no brochures are distributed with quotes of Brother Branham. And I tell you why. A brother was announcing, and he He has written down many quotes of Brother Branham and all the quotes of Brother Branham, and every quote was taken out of context. And all the brothers who are making this, they're making a crime. They're committing a crime because they don't give the context, but just taking the things out of context. At this place, every sermon of Brother Branham is being left from A to Z as it is, and the Holy Spirit leads into all the truth. I say it once again. At this place, nothing is being distributed what is not in agreement with the Bible. I just emphasize it. Everything what Brother Branham has said must in every sermon be left as it is, and it must remain as it is, just as we read in the Holy Scripture and as we leave everything as it is. Yesterday, I had a long conversation with a beloved brother whom I met, whom I baptized many years ago. And then time and again it came up in the conversation, "Oh, Brother Frank, we know that the Lord called you and sent you, but why? Why do you bypass Revelation 10? Would you not like to read Revelation 10 once again and listen what the prophet said about it?" Then I gave him the biblical explanation for it. But just he had problems. Why? Because I know exactly that the seven thunders of Revelation 10 are not only a thundering echo, as Brother Branham has heard it there in the mountains. He didn't hear a voice. He heard seven mighty thunderclaps, but he didn't hear a voice. And then, of course, the seven angels appeared in the supernatural cloud. And then the seventh angel in this constellation, he said unto him, "Return to Jeffersonville, because the opening of the seals is at hand." But the brothers, they don't know the connections, and they don't know what they are doing. Of course, they have also no calling. And then he said, read again. And most surely this brother will hear this sermon. He told me, "You know what the prophet said. One has to read between the lines." Between the lines, a bridegroom can read what the bride says. Between the bride and bridegroom, it can happen, yes, that one speaks not, but God spoke clearly. And we know what Brother Branham meant. He meant the revelation of what we read.
Amen.
And so we just thank the Lord that we also remain sober in these things, trusting the Lord, knowing that He has started and He will also finish. And to Him will be brought a bride who is sanctified in the word of truth, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Full justification, full sanctification, and sealed by the Holy Spirit. Then in Titus chapter 2, Paul refers to it. Titus chapter 2, from verse 11 to 14.
Dass uns die Gnade Gottes zuteil geworden ist.
That the grace of God was bestowed upon us. Titus 2,
von Vers 11,
from verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. Has appeared to all men. They just have to receive it, to accept it, and thanking God for it. Teaching us that denying the grace of God is teaching us that we deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Is this possible? It is possible. And even the whole society, if the whole society goes outside, all the believers are submitting to the divine order. Let us be honest. It's not all of mankind. It has not fallen all of mankind prey to the enemy. I can still remember the time where the family was a family, where the mother was washing the father the feet, saying to Robert, "This was a hard day. What is today with the family?" Before that, three generations were staying in a small house. Today, there's no space for a family. Women are having their society, men have their, and the whole society, family is gone. And the highest people in the government are the best examples for what should not be done, because it is against nature. But just everything was pulled into the greatest falling away. And then they're also speaking, also in this magazine, they're speaking about Christian values. About Christian values. What are Christian values? Who is not a Christian today? All are Christians today. Catholics, what is it? 1 billion. And all Catholics, and all are Christians. A Christian is only he who is baptized with the Holy Spirit. The anointing of the Holy Spirit. Christ was the anointed one, with the Holy Spirit anointed. And the early church was anointed with the Holy Spirit. And therefore they were called Christians. Today are all Christians. Thanks be to God that for the believers, without problems, without effort, the Word of God is valid. And just be honest. Do you have to make an effort to live according to the Word? Or is it just given to you? Who of you has to make efforts? No man. It was given to us by God along our way. The obedience of faith was given to us by the new birth, by grace, because the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit. So, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And then comes the living hope, which was given to us. Verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself his own special people, zealous of good works.
Ein Volk zu schaffen, ein heiliges
a holy people, a sanctified, separated people by the blood of the Lamb, fully redeemed, full justification in the word of truth, full sanctification, and then the sealing by the Holy Spirit. I am convinced. I didn't only say it. I am convinced that all who are now hearing to the voice of God, who believe God's word and who receive God's word with all the promises, who believe them with all the heart, that they get it revealed by the Holy Spirit. Revelation one cannot share with others. Revelation comes from God and must be given to each one by God personally. In 1 Peter we read, here the Apostle writes in chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1,
und wir lesen hier,
here we read
Vers 13,
verse 13 und 14. And 14.
Darum,
wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind.
Zum rüstigen Vorwärtsschreiten,
be sober.
Seid nüchtern und setzt eure Hoffnung ausschließlich
and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be offered unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And this we are doing. We are putting our hope, we are resting our hope only, exclusively on the grace. As we heard it in the word of introduction, faith is connected with obedience. And here we have it in verse 14. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as He which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conduct. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Verse 18 and 19, perhaps 20. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Perhaps read verse 20 also. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, just like you and me, as the Redeemer, as the Lamb of God, was foreordained before the foundation of the world to pay the price for our redemption, so also we were foreordained before the foundation of the world. We were chosen in Him, and we are part of the grace of God until this day and unto all eternity. Verse 20 again, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Already then, 2,000 years ago, they spoke of the end time, of the last days. And here we read it again. Foreordained and was manifest in these last times. And even today, we are living in this last time period, which started then, when the last days, as written in Acts 2, In the last days, says God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. And when these last days are coming to its end, then the last day breaks forth, the last day. And after the last day, eternity breaks forth. Then verse 22, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart, fervently. I wanted, in the next circular letter, God willing, I wanted to write about the love, about the love of God. And you all know, when Brother Branham was taken to the other side, that's how he says it in his testimony. He saw millions who were all young. He even saw his first wife. He saw his second wife. And he said, the first one was in my arm, and the second one was in my second arm. And together, we were praising the Lord. And he said, everything was reality. As we are here on this earth, as we see everything in reality here, so in the resurrection, everything will be reality. And also the return of Jesus, our Lord, will be reality. You all know, perhaps here are also sitting people who have heard that the Lord has already come, that the rapture has taken place already. Oh, what there are things on this earth. It cannot be described. It cannot be put into words. We believe when the Lord returns that every scripture which speaks of the return will be fulfilled 100%, that the dead in Christ shall rise first, and that we who are alive shall be changed, and together with them, we will be taken up. And Paul, of course, wrote it. It will be in a moment. This we are all leaving up to God. God doesn't need time. He spoke and it happened. He commanded and it stood fast. When God said, let there be light, it was light. When he said, let the earth bring forth, it brought forth. And when he will come with a shout and with a trump of God, with the archangel, and when the voice will sound, then the dead in Christ shall rise, and we will be changed. As we said it many times, at first, the changing of our hearts has to take place on our inside. Now, verse 2 from 1 Peter, to show us the predestination once again. 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. And we may say, the grace is multiplied unto us. We may say, as written in John chapter 1, out of his grace we received, out of his fullness we received grace for grace. The law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ our Lord. We don't object any word. As we read in John 10, the scribes, they stumbled, they objected what our Lord did, they objected what he said. The Lord of glory, they accused of blasphemy. How blind can a religion make the people? And then everything decorated on the outside with a temple dedication, with all kinds of things. And on that, what God is doing presently, they are bypassing. Brothers and sisters, let us emphasize it once again. We found grace in the sight of God. We may believe as the Scripture says, and what the Scripture says. We may receive the promises. And please, don't forget it. What we looked at in Matthew 17, when our Lord spoke of that, what would take place in the future. Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. And then our Lord, that what happened already through John the Baptist, that he confirmed. And we may all see this. We are not mixing things. Verse 13, we didn't put after verse 11. We left verse 13 where it is written, there where it belongs, and we leave every word of God where it is written, because there it belongs. But just be honest, it has to be revealed to us by God. Not so. When it became great to me like this, I was thinking, beloved Lord, actually, I've seen it, but I also didn't see it. Yes, I preach it. But in that moment, where it is really revealed to one and being made great to one by the Holy Spirit, that everything has to be left in the right order. It was written in the right order. It was said in the right order. And then the Lord opens our understanding for the Scripture. And we may get the word revealed by the Holy Spirit. And then we don't need anyone who wants to teach us with quotes. Then we leave Revelation 10 exactly there where it belongs. Namely, when our beloved Lord, as the angel of the covenant, with a rainbow over his head, descends. Not as bridegroom, not as son of man, but as the angel of the covenant, putting his foot upon land and sea, because through him and for him everything was created. And as the original owner, he puts his foot then upon land and sea. This is the moment when the seven thunders will utter their voices. Then something is being said. Not only a clap, no, then something is heard, because it is written that then the seven thunders uttered their voices. So, let us leave it there where it belongs, there where it is written, there where God has placed it, there we leave it. And then the brothers are coming and say, oh, Brother Frank, but you know. But yes, I know. Don't you worry. But I also know that we have the reverence before the Word of God. We need it. And let us say it here clearly for all. Whoever refers to Brother Branham and lays the Bible aside has not understood for what God has sent him. Everything what should be revealed was revealed. And in the last 5 minutes, here it's written in the seals book. I read it to the brother last night. Right in the last statement which Brother Branham made, it is written, just as nobody knows the coming of the Lord, so also nobody will know what the seven thunders contain. And this is enough for us.
Huh.
One really? Ah, here we have it. For as it is written, that no one would know the hour of his coming, so also no one would know the mystery of the seven thunders. All the quotes do not suffice. We have to go to the last statement. There we have the answer. Then we are coming back to the Word of God. And we say to the Lord, we say thanks to the Lord with all our hearts. Everything at the right time. By the way, because we just said it here, by the way, this connects us with Daniel 12. That from that moment on, where the oath is being taken, and he swears by him who lives forever. One time, two times, and half of the time will remain then. So, God gives the answer in His Word. And once again, let it be said, to every subject, God said what we have to know, be it in the Old or in the New. Both is in a divine harmony, and we leave it just as it is written. Brothers and sisters, I am overwhelmed by the grace of God, by the great privilege which God has given us to get His Word revealed by the Holy Spirit. That not men are making their opinions. This they can do everywhere, but not here. Here only God's Word counts. Only God's Word counts here. And therefore, we took the admonition serious. The time will come when they will turn away from the truth and where they will heap up teachers upon teachers who present their own doctrines. And then it's again written, in vain do they worship me for teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. There where God is worshipped in truth and spirit, this is only there where we are found in the truth by the Holy Spirit. There's no other way. There's no other way. How want people who are in their own doctrine, how do they want to worship in spirit and in truth? How? The Word is the truth, and the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and He leads us into all the truth. Be it at this place or all over the world. May all who were chosen before the foundation of the world to live now, may they now hear the promises of God. May they believe now, as the Scripture says. May they receive revelation by the Holy Spirit. That not some kind of brother has to come to present a special revelation. No, but that the Holy Spirit leads us into all the truth by the Word. and reveals everything to us. Are you thankful? Are you grateful that in Matthew 17, verse 13, doesn't come after verse 11?
Ha.
I tell you, God's word is holy, and God's word is true. Oh, blessed are all those who read it with respect, who receive it with reverence and respect. Then we are rejoicing greatly that God is so gracious to us. Be honest. Does not the Lord speak in simplicity to us? So that we can understand him. To the scribes, he spoke in parables. To his disciples, he revealed what is contained in the parables. In the same way, it is happening with us in this time. Let us be grateful. Thankful that we may live now, grateful that we may believe as the scripture says, grateful that we found grace in the sight of God, grateful that the Holy Spirit leads us into all the truth, grateful that we are found in the word of truth until the Lord comes. I believe it. I believe it with all my heart. Just be blessed. Be blessed in the name of the Lord. Receive God's word and let it be, and it will be revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. And then we are walking in lockstep together with the Lord, in love, joined with him and with one another. Don't forget what we read in the Sermon on the Mount, Only if we forgive one another, just as God forgave us in Christ, then we are also forgiven. And then we can praise God with a pure heart. We are glorifying the power of the blood of the Lamb. We are thanking God for the word of the new covenant. We are thanking him for the blood of the new covenant, which was shed for us, for his word, for the Holy Spirit, who leads us into all the truth. To him, the Almighty God, be the honor forever. Amen. Let us stand up. Let us thank the Lord. I don't know whether the two sisters perhaps have a fitting song. We will open our hearts, opening our hearts before the Lord. Yes. How great thou art, how great thou art, we have sung. Let us sing, oh, I want to see him, look upon his face.
Maranatha war das Kennwort in der ersten Christenheit, wo die Hoffnung seines Kommens aller Herzen hat erfreut. Welche Armes, ihr die Kind zum Eigentum, Maranatha, selge Hoffnung, komm erbald, Herr Jesu, komm. Losungswort im Christentum, lass die Herzen höher schlagen, aller wie sein Eigentum.
Amen.
Welche Aussicht, Braut des Lammes, ewig hin zum Eigentum. Maranatha, selge Hoffnung, komme bald, Herr Jesu, komm. Maranatha, Trost der Christen, heute in der Zeit der Not. Jesus kommt uns zu erlösen, aus der Trübsal, Sorg und Tod. Welche Aussicht, Braut des Lammes, ewig ihm zum Eigentum. Maranatha, selge Hoffnung, komme bald, Herr Jesu, komm. Maranatha, gürt die Lenden, halte deine Lampe bereit, bereits die Botschaft seines Kommens kräftig aus in dieser Zeit. Welche Aussicht, Braut des Lammes, ewig ihm zum Eigentum. Maranatha, selge Hoffnung, komme bald, Herr Jesu, komm. Maranatha, er ist nahe, Endeszeichen sind wir schon. Lasset wartend uns bereit sein für den Platz auf seinem Thron. Welche Aussicht, Braut des Lammes, ewig ihm zum Eigentum. Maranatha, selge Hoffnung, komme bald, Herr Jesu, komm. Welche Aussicht, Braut des Lammes, ewig ihm zum Eigentum. Maranatha, selge Hoffnung, komme bald, Herr Jesu, komm.
Amen.
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 Lob und Dank.
Praise and thanks be unto the Lord. If it was already then like this, how much more now? Because we know now exactly, based upon Bible prophecy, that the return of the Lord is really before the door. How thankful can we be? One more sentence. Only he who truly is part of the bride church will now hearken to the voice of the bridegroom. All the others will remain in their traditions, walking on their own ways. But we may trust the Lord. The last call goes forth. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. You are not coming in vain from all neighboring countries and from half of the world. You are here so that all world knows that it is not being preached before empty seats or in a studio, but that all the world knows that all in Europe, all over Europe, the people are coming together to hear the true word of God. And so We are just so grateful. Let us bow our heads. Let us examine ourselves in the sight of God. Whether we really believe with all our hearts. I would like to ask now whether today, especially young people are in our midst who didn't make any experience with God, who didn't experience a conversion, who do not know what it means to repent, of the life, to return to the Lord, and to ask Him for forgiveness so that it finds fulfillment. But as many as received Him, to them He gave power, divine power, to become the children of God, namely them who believe on His name. This is the hour, also for all those who perhaps were thinking in their minds whether not all things have finished with John the Baptist and his ministry, just as all the Pentecostal preachers are claiming. Please come out from every influence of men and let yourselves be brought under the divine influence. Only then comes revelation by the Holy Spirit. God knows no mixing. His people, His sons and His daughters are being taught by God, and the word of the Lord went forth, and we received it, and the Spirit of God reveals it to us. So, whoever wants to like to receive forgiveness, believe. Whoever would like to receive healing, believe it now. God is present. Blessed and praised be the name of the Lord. How many would like to be included into this prayer before God? God bless. So many hands. Let us pray. Let us ask Brother Gilbert, would you like to pray with us? Or Brother Arben, please translate him. And all of us, we believe and we pray, and the Lord will bring it to pass. Our Heavenly Father, Almighty God, we are very touched by your word tonight. You have gathered us here at your table to feed us on this word which contains all the promises. We are thanking you for the revelation of your word tonight. We are thanking you for the precision of Matthew 17, verse 13. You are speaking to us, and we thank you with all our hearts for it. Please give us all obedience of faith. We are blessed because we are the people which you have chosen. And you have placed us into your presence. We are thanking you for the fresh word from the throne. For the word which prepares us for the glorious return of Christ. You want that we are ready for the rapture. Bless all who have raised their hands, who all would like to consecrate themselves to you, because today forgiveness is still available. Conversions can still be experienced. Repentance can be experienced still. We're thanking you that you have given us new strength. We are thanking you also for the testimony of healing which we have heard. We are thanking you that you are the same and that you didn't change. We believe that your word is the truth. We are thanking you for the revelation. Strengthen and anoint your vessel to speak to us. Once again, we thank you for the wonderful grace which you have given to us, that we may believe the word for our time. We're thanking you that you have opened our ears so that we can hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. Be highly praised, Lord. We are thanking you from the bottom of our hearts. Whatever you will do now and in future with us, we are praying in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us believe, let us sing, only believe. Whoever would like to raise their hand. Dear Lord, based upon the authority of your word, which we are preaching and which we believe, we may say to everyone who are now coming to you, who are now believing on you, and who receive the work of redemption for themselves, if you believe, then the sins are forgiven you in his name. Because that's how it is written, in his name, all the nations, remission of sins will be preached. Receive it. Receive it. And thank the Lord for it. The same with healing. He was wounded because of our sins. He was beaten because of our sickness. The chastisement was laid upon him so that we might have peace. And by his stripes we were healed. We are thanking God for the testimony of the niece of our brother. We are thanking you, beloved Lord. You are the same yesterday, today and forever. In the days of your servant William Branham, you made the blind seeing, you made the cripples walk. You didn't die, you are risen, you have risen. You are alive, and you are today in our midst. We are thanking you that you have confirmed your word by your grace. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I thank you, beloved Lord, that you are calling out your bride as the bridegroom from all peoples, tongues and nations. And you will complete your work of redemption in a glorious way. And we will see what never has taken place on the earth. In such a fullness, we are thanking you with all our hearts for it. Also for this day, we are thanking you. Bless in all tongues, all over the earth. And be with thy people, dear Lord. We would like to sing to you, Thou art worthy, Thou art worthy. Hallelujah. To your wonderful name, Thou art worthy. And all the people
Amen.
Said,
Amen, Amen, Amen.
The grace of the Lord be with you. Most surely you have seen that we took care of you. We have put water there, the entrance. We have put water for you who probably will get into trouble because of the heat, but God has given grace. The Lord bless you. Be with you. Brother Schmidt, please say a few words. Everything was said already. Have a good night.
Hallelujah.
Lob, Ehre und Preis. Ja.
Praise on it.
Amen.
Amen.
Er hat uns gesegnet.
He blessed us.
Reicht einander die Hand.
Shake hands.
Und wir segnen alle im Namen.
And we are blessing all in the name of the Lord, all over Amen. The world. Amen.
Amen. Ja, mein.